ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ ईशावास्यम् ईशावास्यम् इदगम् सर्वम् इदगम् सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्याञ्जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्याञ्जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगुं समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूयानामते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसावृताः तांस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वादधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति తద్దూరే తద్వంతికే తదంతరస్య సర్వస్య తదు సర్వస్యాస్య బాహ్యతః యస్తు సర్వాణి భూతాని ఆత్మన్యేవానుపశ్యతి సర్వభూతేషు చాత్మానం తతో న విజుగుప్సతే యస్మిన్ సర్వాణి భూతాని ఆత్మైవాభూద్విజానతః తత్ర కో మోహః కశోకః ఏకత్వమనుపశ్యతః సపర్యగాచ్చుక్రం అకాయమవ్రణం అస్నావిరగం శుద్ధమపాపవిద్ధం కవిర్మనీషీ పరిభూ స్వయంభూః యాథా తథ్యతోర్థాన్ వ్యదధాత్ శాశ్వతీభ్యః సమాభ్యః సమాభ్యః అంధం తమః ప్రవిశంతి యే అవిద్యాముపాసతే తతో భూయ ఇవ తే తమో య ఉ విద్యాయాగం రతాః అన్యదేవాహుః విద్యయా ఇతి శుశ్రుమధీరాణాం యేనస్తద్ విచచక్షిరే విద్యాంచ అవిద్యాంచ యస్తద్వేద ఉభయగం సః అవిద్యయా మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా విద్యయా అమృతమశ్నుతే అంధం తమః ప్రవిశంతి యే అసంభూతిముపాసతే తతో భూయ ఇవ తే తమో య ఉ సంభూత్యాం రతాః. అన్యదేవాహుః సంభవాత్ అన్యదాహుర సంభవాత్ ఇతి శుశ్రుమధీరాణాం యేనస్తద్ विचचक्षिरे असंभूतिं च विनाशं च यस्तद्वेदोभयगं सः यस्तद्वेद उभयगं सः विनाशेन मृत्युं तीर्त्वा संभूत्या अमृतमश्नुते हिरण्मयेन पात्रेण सत्यस्यापि हितम् मुखम् तत्त्वम् पोषन् अपावृणु सत्यधर्माय दृष्टये हिरण्मयेन पात्रेण सत्यस्य अभिहितं मुखम् सत्यस्यापि हितं मुखम् तत्त्वं पोषन् अपावृणु सत्यधर्माय दृष्टये After completing the Nivrityatmaka, Nivritti Margaha, the subject matter of Nivritti Margaha or Jnana Yogaha in first 8 mantras, 9th mantra onwards, we have been seeing the description or elaborate discussion on Pravritti Margaha or Karma Margaha or Karma Yoga. You are seeing, understanding now the part of Karma. And here, in this Upanishad, Karma Margaha or Pravritti Margaha Pravritti Margaha or Karma Margaha or Karma Yogaha. Discipline is here discussed under three different topics. The first topic was Karma Upasana Samuchchayaha. Synthesis of Karma and Upasana was the first topic. The second topic was synthesis of two upasanams. The third topic, now we are going to start today, is Gati Prarthana. Praying for Gatihi. Gatihi means travel. Journey, movement. When you pray for a gatihi, actually we pray for accomplishing a given destination. Who will pray for the destination, accomplishing a given end, for reaching a given end? Who will pray for? Definitely, a wise person, jnani, need not, cannot pray for gatihi. A jnani cannot pray for any ultimate destination, any other destination. Why? When you say jnani, the very word tells you he is a person of wisdom, knowledge. The person who is already endowed with a clear vision of Atma and who sees everything as Atma, who has resolved everything cognitively in Atma, who sees the self as Atma. And what is the Atma? Atma which is of the nature of knowledge, which is of the nature of changelessness, motionlessness, actionlessness. And the wise person who has his identity with that Atma, who sees himself as the Atma, how can he pray for any travel, any journey or any destination? So, prayer for Gatihi is not a prayer of a wise person. Definitely, prayer for Gatihi itself is expression of an Ajnani, ignorant person, who is given to the Pravritti Margaha, the discipline of living a life of actions. Who is given to the discipline of living a worshipful, prayerful, righteous life of Karma Yoga. Only he can pray for the Gatihi. This must be very clear, and we are going to see now page number 63. And before the topic of prayer for reaching the given destination, a prayer for Gatihi, Shankara Bhagavatpada presents his introduction. Always informative, clarify. Let us read his commentary before we go to the actual mantra which we read sometime today. Manusha Daiva Vitta Sadhyam. Okay. Before I read the Bhashyam and explain to you, let me tell you what are the contents of this Bhashyam. That'd be nice. By reading this Bhashyam, what should you understand? That let me tell you. The three important facts are revealed here. What are they? The highest and the greatest result, fruit of action accomplishable is Prakriti Layaha. Prakriti Layaha is the result of a Prakriti Upasana which is not Mokshaha. Karma Phalam cannot be a moksha. Moksha is not a result of action, which you have already understood very clearly when you understood the nature of results of actions. There are only four types of results, isn't it? Utpadyam, Sanskaryam, Apyam, Vikaryam. And moksha is not any. Mokshaha, freedom, happiness, fullness does not come under the category of any of the four. Therefore, moksha is not a result of action. Moksha cannot be accomplished as a result of an action, an object of action. It means mokshaha is, therefore, the highest result accomplishable is Prakriti Layaha. Other Upanishads also talk about Hiranyagarbha Praptihi, attainment of Deva Lokaha, otherwise said to be Hiranyagarbha Lokaha. And if possible, if a person is also prepared, it is possible for a person to attain Krama Muktihi from there. Otherwise, even from there, one has to come back. Okay, this is point number one. And the second thing, the second fact revealed is, knowledge of Atma, knowledge of the absolute reality, implied by the term Atma, is the only means of moksha, attainment of moksha, freedom. Why? Because knowledge itself is freedom. After attainment of knowledge, we need not do anything extra. We need not wait for some experience for moksha. Knowledge itself is freedom from bondage, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from samsara. Second point. And the third point Shankara Bhagavatpada discusses in his commentary is, he gives a brief picture of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, briefest information about Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Why? Because Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a Brahmana Upanishad, I told you many times. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad actually consists of 8 chapters. Even though it consists of 8 chapters, the first 2 chapters discuss only karma, which means pravritti margaha or karma margaha, karma lakshanaha dharmaha is subject matter discussed in the first 2 chapters. And the second chapter ends with a Brahmanam title called Pravargyam, Pravargya Brahmanam. Pravargya Brahmanam is the chapter, title of the chapter, where the Upanishad ends its discussion on karma. In fact, Shankara Bhagavatpadaha does not even write commentary. He has not written commentary on those 2 chapters. He omitted them, because it discusses only karma. But the second 6, like the rest of the 6 chapters, have jnanam as the subject matter. So nivritti margaha or jnana yogaha, nivritti margaha or jnana yogaha is a subject matter discussed in the rest of the 6 chapters, which means the entire Brihadaranyaka Upanishad discusses 2 main subject matters, 2 main factors which constitute the entire subject matter of the Veda Shastra. That's all. These are 3 factors, 3 facts, 3 factors discussed by Shankara in this introduction, in his introduction to Gati Prarthana. Now let us read here. Manusha. I am going to read word by word, so all of you must be able to say it. Manusha,
Manusha.
Daiva,
Daiva.
Vitta,
Vitta.
Sadhyam,
Sadhyam.
Palam.
Palam.
Manusha, Daiva, Vitta, Sadhyam, Palam. Shastra Lakshanam,
Shastra Lakshanam.
Prakriti layantam,
Prakriti layantam.
Yetavati,
Yetavati.
Samsara gatihi,
Samsara gatihi.
What he wants to say, மானுஷம் வித்தம் தெய்வம் வித்தம் ஆர் மானுஷ வித்தம் தெய்வ வித்தம். மானுஷ வித்தம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஹியூமன் வெல்த். வாட் இஸ் ஹியூமன் வெல்த்? வாட் எவர் ஹியூமன் பீயிங் கன்சிடர்ஸ் அஸ் வெல்த் இஸ் எ ஹியூமன் வெல்த். மணி, வெல்த், பொசஷன்ஸ், பொசிஷன்ஸ், isn't it? Physical health, house, okay, sthavara jangama, wealth in the form of cattle, gold, ornaments, all such of things. It's all human wealth. Manusham vittam. Manusham vittam. Then daivam vittam or daiva vittam. தெய்வ வித்தம் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் வெல்த் ஆர் ரிலிஜியஸ் வெல்த். சி பர்ஃபார்மன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ரிச்சுவல், பிராக்டிஸ் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன், த புண்ணியம் ஒன் ஹஸ் ஏர்ன்ட் த்ரூ ரைட்டியஸ் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ், த இன்விசிபிள் அத்ருஷ்ட பலம் ஆஃப் குட் கர்மா, ஆல் திஸ் கம் அண்ட் தி கேட்டகரி ஆஃப் தெய்வம் வித்தம். We all have good punya karma, punya phalam. This is தெய்வம் வித்தம். We all have the wealth, divine wealth of punyam, because of which we are able to study the scripture. See, தெய்வம் வித்தம் means what? The punyam, the invisible adrishta phalam. And how do we earn good punyam? By our righteous actions, by our good intentions, by entertaining right good motive behind our actions, by having proper attitude in our actions, by following, by doing our actions in conformity with values, and by being prayerful to Bhagavan, being worshipful. So, by performing rituals, by practicing the discipline of meditation, all these things contribute for accumulation of punyam, which is invisible adrishtam phalam. Isn't it? It's called daivam vittam, which will be translated into our experience, sukha experience, our enjoyment of good health, etc., as we discussed earlier. Later on. So, Daivam Vittam and Manusham Vittam. These twofold wealths, divine spiritual wealth or human wealth, everything is divine for us. Okay? All forms of wealth here we talk about. Sadhyam Phalam. Phalam means end. The end which can be the phalam, the result, accomplishable. Sadhya means accomplishable with a wealth, this wealth. So buying power, the manushyam vittam and daivam vittam is a buying power. With this wealth of buying power, what can we buy? What is that we can enjoy with this wealth? What can we buy with this wealth? Knowledge also is wealth. So, daivam vittam, manusham vittam. With this wealth, this is the buying power for us. We can buy only prakriti layantam. Is it clear? What can we buy with this wealth? With the daivam vittam, manusham vittam, with this wealth, we can only buy prakriti layaha, which means prakriti laya is the highest of the goal ends which can be accomplished as a result of this, with this wealth, manushyam and daivam vittam. And how do we know this? We can accomplish prakriti laya as an end, as the highest end, with this, a result of our actions. Shastra Lakshanam. Shastra Lakshanam is what? We understand this fact through the Pramanam called Shastram. Shastra Lakshanam means Shastra Pramanena Vayam Jani Maha. We understand this fact that highest result accomplishable with a result of action is Prakriti Layaha. This fact we understand through the means of knowledge of Shastram. This is first fact. And this, even accomplishing the Prakriti Layaha, now being resolved as Prakriti, or even going to Brahmaloka or Devaloka, even having the Devata status is also not Mokshaha. Is all these achievements are within the realm of samsara only. Next sentence says, Yetavati samsara gatihi. Yetavati samsara gatihi means this much. Yetavati means what? This much of wealth and this much of accomplishment of this great end also is samsara, is still bondage. It is not freedom. Because even in accomplishing this biggest, greatest ends also, ignorance continues to be there. Okay? What all, which means, we have to understand in this context, very important to live a life of dharma. But even living a life of dharma is only a means, it is not an end. Sometimes dharma is very important, but dharma should not be mistaken for an end. It's only, it's not an end. Without living a life of dharma, you cannot attain jnanam or moksha. But living a life of dharma itself is not our goal. Very important. So this particular yetavati samsara gatihi, this much of accomplishment also is only within the realm of samsara. There is no freedom. Imagine tremendous amount of punyam one must have earned to be able to go to Brahmaloka or even to have Prakriti Layaha. And to earn that much punyam, one must have worked very hard, lived a very, very disciplined life. Going, practicing meditation and performing rituals, and also every time when doing everything consciously, living a life of dharma. Not an easy joke. Even then, minus jnanam, still samsara. Okay? This tells you the advantage, the benefit, the greatness of performing rituals and practicing meditation and also earning punyam, living a life of dharma, everything. At the same time, the same sentence also reveals the limitation of karma and karma phalam. We have to understand both, only then we can become dispassionate. What karma can do, what karma cannot do. What karma phalam can get me, what karma phalam cannot get me, must be very important. Only then, what I want cannot be accomplished as a result of action. Once you understand, we will become disinterested in action. That does not mean we should not, we should stop performing actions. We should seek jnana. Okay, next sentence. First line I told you, first point is covered. Second point. Atafparam. Atafparam means, okay, after this means, what is there now beyond this samsara? Purvoktam
Atma
Atma Eva Abhut
Vijanataha
Iti Sarvatma Bhavaha Eva Sarva Yeshana Sanyasa Jnana Nishtha Phalam. So Atav Param means beyond this, after apart from samsara. If we want moksha, for moksha is the result of only jnanam. Jnana nishtha phalam moksha. What is beyond samsara is moksha. Freedom, fullness, happiness, and that freedom is the jnana nishtha phalam, not karma phalam. What is the jnana nishtha? It is sarveshana sanyasaha. Sarveshana sanyasaha means renunciation of threefold, renunciation of desire for threefold factors. And renunciation of desire for threefold factors is actually result of the vision of all that is series Atma. It is Sarvatma Bhavaha Eva Atma Eva Abhut Vijanataha. For the person who has clear vision of the Atma, for him everything is Atma. If we know what water is, for the then the entire ocean is water. See, for the person who knows Atma, everything here is only Atma. Vijanataha, for the person who knows, Atma eva abhut, everything is Atma only for him. And is what? Sarvatma bhavaha. I is self and the self of everything. All that is here is the self. It is the vision, in the wake of this vision, in a person who is entered with this clear vision, naturally sannyasa becomes natural. Renunciation of desire for threefold factors is not a willing one. I want to push the results. Naturally, the desires drop him. He doesn't drop the desires. Desires leave him and go away. Which means, what is it jnanam? Jnananishtha. Clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the true, only truth implied by the term Atma. That Atma is everything. All that is Atma. And it is that result, that jnanam is the means of moksha. And jnananishtha phalam moksha. Other phalams, karma phalam, upasana phalam, in terms of daivavittam, manushavittam, are all what? Samsara gatihi. Made very clear. Now, having said this, two factors, having stated these two facts, now Shankara Bhagavatpada, he wants to say the same fact is discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. See, even if you have not studied Brihadaranyakam, as studied or not studied, he says very briefly, evam, in this manner, dviprakaraha pravritti nivritti lakshanaha vedarthaha atra prakashitaha evam, in this manner dviprakaraha pravritti nivritti lakshanaha vedarthaha atra prakashitaha. In this Ishavasya Upanishad, which is called Mantra Upanishad, In his Mantropanishad called Ishavasyam, these two aspects, two factors. Dviprakara means what? Two aspects. In terms of Pravritti Margaha, Pravritti Lakshanaha. The path of action, Anivritti Lakshanaha, the path of renunciation. Jnana Yoga, the path of knowledge and path of action. These two aspects constitute the subject matter of the entire Veda. Veda Arthaha. Veda Arthaha means the subject matter of the entire subject matter of the Veda is nothing but these two fold aspects constitute subject matter of the Veda. Dviprakaraha pravritti lakshanaha nivritti lakshanaha is subject matter, constitute subject matter of the Veda. This has been prakashitaha, revealed in Ishavasya Upanishad. Is it clear? Now, having said that, now he moves on to, in two lines, he is going to say briefly what is in Brihadaranyakam. Tatra Pravritti Lakshanasya Vedarthasya Vidhi Pratishedha Lakshanasya Kritsnasya Prakashane Pravargyantam Brahmanam Upayuktam. Very simple. Okay, what he says in this sentence, the first two chapters of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which ends with the Brahmanam called Pravargyam Brahmanam, two Brahmanam, first two chapters, are made use of for presenting the first aspect of Veda in terms of Pravritti Margaha or Karma Margaha. The subject matter of the subject matter of Veda, the karma, is discussed in the first two chapters. How does he say that? He doesn't say first two chapters. He says with the chapter which entitled as Pravargyam Brahmanam. Pravargyantam means what? This is the second chapter. Is the second chapter. In the chapter, Brahmanam, Brahmanam is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, first two chapters, karma, path of karma is discussed. How path of karma means what? The karma, karma. Karma means karma, upasanam, performance of rituals, practice of meditation, subject matter of meditation, rituals. Then also vidhi means prescribed duties. What are all the prescribed duties? Then nishedha, then pratishedha, and what are all prohibited actions? Prescribed duties, prohibited actions, and right, do's and don'ts. So all these are discussed where Kritsnasya Vidipatisheda Lakshana, the entire subject matter of the entire Karma Kanda, subject matter of the entire Karma Kanda, the Pravritti Margaha of the Veda Shastram, subject matter of Pravritti Marga, Pravritti Lakshana Dharma of Veda Shastram, is discussed in first two chapters. Next he says, and that second, first portion consisting of two chapters and which ends with the Pravargyam Brahmanam. He says, then Nivritti Lakshanasya Vedarthasya Prakashane Ataha Urdhum బృహదారణ్యకం ఉపయుక్తం. సో శంకర భగవత్పాద సేస్ ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద సిక్స్, సి ఊర్ధ్వం మీన్స్ వాట్, ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద సిక్స్ చాప్టర్స్, ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ సిక్స్ చాప్టర్స్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ యూస్డ్ ఫర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ వేద ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ నివృత్తి లక్షణ ధర్మ. సిక్స్ చాప్టర్స్ డిస్కస్ జ్ఞానయోగ, ఫస్ట్ టూ చాప్టర్స్ డిస్కస్ కర్మయోగ. అంటే కర్మయోగ కర్మ, వి అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ కర్మయోగ. ఓకే, దిస్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఫార్మ్స్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ ది బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్, విచ్ మీన్స్ టు హ్యావ్ ద కోర్ విషన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆల్ ఫోర్ వేదస్. ఇఫ్ యూ స్టడీ బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ యూ విల్ హ్యావ్ క్లియర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. వేదార్థ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ ది వేద ఈస్ వాట్ ఆర్ ది, వాట్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ ది వేద, టూ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్, టూ ఫ్యాక్టర్స్, వన్ ఈస్ కర్మ అండ్ వన్ ఈస్ జ్ఞానం. దీస్ టూ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ది దీస్ టూ అలోన్ ఫార్మ్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ ది వేద. దిస్ సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఇస్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ బృహదారణ్యక ఉపనిషత్ వేర్ ఇన్ ఫస్ట్ టూ చాప్టర్స్ కర్మ ఇస్ డిస్కస్డ్, ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది సిక్స్ చాప్టర్స్ జ్ఞానం ఇస్ డిస్కస్డ్. And it's said to be here pravritti margaha nivritti margaha. That's all. Okay, he gives his introduction to the gati prarthana. Why we must be very clear what is how inishavasyam vedarthaha, subject matter of veda obtaining in the form of two forms. The two aspects are discussed and the same is discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also. He made it very clear. Already we are clear. Which end you want? You have to choose that path. You want Artha, Kama, Dharma? Then choose the path of Karma. You want Mokshaha? Choose the path of knowledge. If you want to be prepared for Jnanam, choose the path of karma and do it having the Jnanam as the ultimate goal and do karma with proper attitude in conformity with dharma to prepare your mind so that to be given to the next discipline of Jnana Yoga, ultimately to accomplish Jnanam, to attain the moksha. So clear picture, clean picture, isn't it? Are you all with me?
Yes.
Tired?
No.
Okay, now let us, I want to tell you a small story now. Not a story, let me tell you something different. So I'll wake you up. It is in one sentence, then I can tell you what it is. Page number 64. తత్ర నిషేకాది శ్మశానాంతం కర్మ కుర్వన్ జిజీవిషేద్యః విద్యయా, సారీ జిజీవిషేద్ యః విద్యయా సహ అపరబ్రహ్మ విషయయా తదుక్తం. రిపీట్ ది సెంటెన్స్ అగైన్. తత్ర నిషేకాది శ్మశానాంతం కర్మ కుర్వన్ జిజీవిషేత్ యః విద్యయా సహ అపరబ్రహ్మ విషయయా తదుక్తం విద్యాం చ అవిద్యాం చ యః. తద్వేద ఉభయగం సహ అవిద్యయా మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా విద్యయా అమృతమశ్నుతే ఇతి. ఓకే, నౌ వాట్ శంకర భగవత్పాద వాంట్స్ టు కన్వే ఇన్ దిస్ పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ కమెంటరీ. He quotes a mantra from Ishavasya Upanishad. You know that very well. And this mantra is in the portion where karma marga, karma is elaborated. Isn't it? We know this mantra which you have read now is a mantra which comes in the portion of Ishavasyam where karma is discussed. So by how it says vidyancha vidyancha, by combining, by practicing of meditation along with the performance of ritual, by combining them both, a person can overcome the mrityu in terms of instinctive behavior, instinctive thinking, and he also attains amrita mashnate, he can attain devatatma bhavaha. Means it's all daivavittam. This mantra gives what now? The result accomplishable by synthesizing karma dupasanam is daivavittam. What is daivavittam? Karma phalam. Karma phalam is what? Within the realm of samsara. There's no jnanam or moksha there. And for whom it is mentioned here, this portion is discussed for whom? He says, karma kurvan yah jijivishet. For the person who wants to live his life performing actions, karma kurvan yah jijivishet. For the person who wants to live his life performing actions, for him alone, the synthesis of karma and meditation, upasanam, has been prescribed. And who is the person? He wants to live his life performing actions means, what are all actions he is performing? Yeah. And Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions two words. Nishekaha. Nishekam, say now, Nisheka. Shmasanam. Shmashanam. Let me tell you. Now we'll stop. I will talk to you. No, we don't read Sanskrit. Okay. Shmashanam means crematorium, cremation ground. So cremation also is implied by the word shmashanam. And Nishekaha means Garbhadhanam. Garbhadhanam means conception, impregnation. So, conception. In Vedic tradition, I'm going to stop here, I'm going to talk to you now. In Vedic tradition, in Vedic culture, Veda Shastram prescribes samskaras. There are 41 samskaras. Samskaraha means refinement. Samskritihi, which means culture, is a feminine gender word. Samskritihi is a feminine gender word. Samskara is a masculine gender word. Same meaning. One meaning is culture. Okay, becoming a cultured individual. A person has to become cultured. Non-cultured has to become cultured. Samskritihi means culture. Samskaraha also means the same. So refinement. samskaroti means refines. Samskaraha, refinement. So in English they translate this as sacrament, but I would not like to translate it into Sanglish. The word sacrament is not expressive enough. What the word samskara says. So samskara is a ritual. Ritual means a prayer. Ritual is a some action, act of praying. There are 41 samskaras, prayers are there, rituals are prescribed. Why these rituals are called samskaraha, samskaras? Because each ritual is very thoughtfully prescribed for the mental refinement of an individual. Every individual, when a person is born, everybody is unrefined, raw, immature, raw-headed person. And everyone, after being born as a baby, and we are physically growing, and emotionally also we have to grow. Physical growth is taken care of by nature. I told you many times, if you don't forget to go to dining hall 2 times a day, definitely physical growth is taken care of. What about your emotional maturity? For emotional maturity, we have to make our own, we have to take an initiative. Emotional maturity does not happen naturally. We have to take an initiative. And there's a way of life prescribed by the Shastra. If we follow this way of life, the way of life enjoined by the Shastram, known as Vaidikaha Dharmaha or Sanatanaha Dharmaha, this eternal way of life. Why is it called eternal way of life? Because this way of life is prescribed by the Shastram, which is a timeless scripture. And this way of life is prescribed by the Shastram, it is suitable, acceptable, okay, relevant for all people of all times, of all places. Therefore it is, we say what? Sanatanaha Dharmaha. So here, it's all for how, if we follow this way of life, we can also take care of our emotional growth, emotional maturity. If you do not take care of emotional maturity, you take only care of our physical health, isn't it? Then even after becoming 70, 80, we'll be babies, isn't it? So we can't afford to be innocent. We must grow simultaneously. Our emotional growth should be taken care of. To take care of emotional growth, I have to follow the way of life enjoined by the Shastra. Apart from this, Shastram also prescribes the samskaras. And these samskaras, these rituals are performed for every individual. And the samskara actually is done even before the child is born. Even before the birth of the child, samskara is done. The samskaras done before the rituals known as samskaras are done before the birth of the child are said to be prenatal samskaras. So before the birth, who can do? Other people have to do. Before the birth, others will do samskaras for the individual. Okay, individual has yet to be born. And after the death also, post-death, pre-birth, prenatal and post-death, samskaras will be done by others for the individual, who are well-wishers of this individual. If I do for this person, somebody else will do for me tomorrow. Listen, that's all. Always catching each other's back only. If I do tomorrow, today, for somebody else, tomorrow somebody else will do for me after my death. So, after death, post-death samskaras, pre-birth samskaras, natal samskaras are done by others. The first and the foremost of the samskaras is garbha adhanam. As soon as the baby is conceived in the mother's womb, immediately the first prayer is done. If we come to know the woman is conceived, immediately the first prayer is done for the refinement of the individual. It's called garbhadhanam. The garbhadhanam is meant by another word, nishekaha. Is it clear now what is nisheka? Nishekaha is garbhadhanam. That's why it said impregnation ceremony. They said that. We say prenatal samskara. Okay? Conception. Then after that, we have so many, not only one, he mentioned only one. We have to call Simantaha, Garbhadhanam, Pumsavanam, Simantaha, then Namakaranam, even naming ceremony, Namakaranam. Before birth is Simanta, then Aksharabhyasaha, then Upanayanam, initiating the child into the study of the Gayatri Mantra Upadesha, Vedas, Upanayanam, Vivahaha, even marriage, Vivahaha, wedding, marriage is one of the samskaras. Understand why marriage is important? One of the samskaras, one of the rituals performed for the emotional refinement of an individual. Is it? Vivahaha. Like that, we have 41. I'm not giving a talk on samskaras, and he mentions those nishekadi shmashanantam. And when the person gets married, it's also vivaha is also for emotional refinement. What is marriage for? Now you can understand. I don't want to explain anything more. You can understand. In Indian Vedic culture, marriage is a samskaraha. Samskaraha means a ritual performed for the emotional refinement of an individual. After marriage, the man and woman have to live together, adjusting with each other, not divorcing and going away, having understanding each other, putting up with each other. Pooja Swami used to say, they must, both of them must be knife and stone for each other to get sharpened. Isn't it? If you are dead, wife, husband will make you sharp. If he is dead, you will become, wife will become, make him sharp. Which means they both will grow. Becoming sharp means what? Becoming sharp means not hitting each other, okay? both will be supportive of each other for their emotional maturity. Being stone and knife means what? Rock and knife means being supportive of each other for emotional growth. A man must be supportive of wife for her to grow emotionally. The woman must be supportive of husband for him to grow emotionally. Marriage is for emotional maturity ultimately. But its another purpose also is there. For having progeny for perpetuation of dharma. Okay, marriage is for progeny. Progeny is for perpetuation of dharma. Ultimate purpose of marriage is contribution for perpetuation of dharma. So, you also take care of your biological needs. Okay, this is marriage. On the day of marriage, a person first is allowed to kindle a fire. Only after marriage, on the day of marriage, a person is supposed to kindle a fire. And that fire is given a special name, the Adhana Agnihi. Why it's called Adhana Agnihi? And that fire he will kindle, and that from the day of marriage he is supposed to perform, he is eligible to perform the ritual called Agnihotram. Until he gets married, he is not qualified to perform Agnihotram ritual. And he follows, and that fire is kept alive throughout. Agnihotra means Nitya Agnihotra, Nitya Karma. Every day he performs that ritual. So the fire is kept alive. Every day he can kindle the same fire and he can perform ritual. And from that fire alone is taken, when that person dies, later on, when he gets old, he dies, that fire is taken to cremate him. Not a small incense stick. Okay? That fire has to be taken to kindle the fire for cremating the person. Is it clear? And the cremation also is yajna. This Agni, which is called Garhapatya Agni, the person which he kindles on the day of marriage, he continues to keep it alive throughout his life, performing rituals, practicing meditation, living his clean, worshipful, prayerful life. Vaidika means worshipper. Always, the whole life, everything is prayer for him, everything is worship for him. Doing any duty is worship. He lives his life. And the person dies, and this Agni which he has been maintaining, Garhapatya Agni, from there the Agni is taken and he is, fire is kindled, he is cremated. And when the body is offered into the fire, look at the body is put into the fire. And this is also worship. This is also yajna. Cremating a body is a ritual, which is meant by the word shmashanam here. And which is called antya ishtihi. Antyam means lost. Ishtihi means puja, worship. Antya ishtihi means the final worship, the final ritual done for the individual for his refinement. Antyeshtihi. What is Antyeshtihi? Shmashanam. What is Shmashanam? Taking his body to the crematorium. Cremation ground. Kindling fire, with that fire he was worshipping, using throughout, and offering the body to Agni is a ritual. We don't disrespectfully throw it and come away. Bhagavan has given this, carefully eat, carefully maintain, and give it back to Bhagavan. How? Offer it into fire. It's also yajna. Okay? What seems, when this body is received by the Agni, in return, Agni Bhagavan also gives a subtlest another body for the Jiva to assume. As the body is being burnt, it seems Agni Devaha, the fire god, gives another body, subtle body for this Jiva. These are not my own story. This is all discussed in Panchagni Vidya top chapter in Chandogya Upanishad. Also in discussed in Brahma Sutra also. Tadantara Pratipatyadikaranam, they are also discussed. Two elaborate discussions are there. I only want to explain to you that Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, he mentions these two words. What is that? Nisheka Adi. Beginning with the Nishekaha, the Garbhadhanam, the conception. Okay, first ritual, Garbhadhanam. In between, in 40, we have 39 we have in between. And the 41st is what? Shmashanam. He doesn't give the list of all rituals. He only mentions two. First and the 41st. In between 39, doesn't mention. I have add one more to you, Vivaha. And the set marriage. Why is it a head marriage? Because it is on the marriage day, he first starts his fire. And that fire alone is used later on to cremate his body also. From there, fire is taken to kindle the fire. Then body is burnt. Anyway, what he says, like this, the person, what he wants to say, Shankara Bhagavatpada, simply just to keep you awake, I just told you the story. Actually, what he wants to say here is, the person who lives a Vedic way of life, means he must have gone through all these samskaras. And why does samskara even before the birth? Because no parents, no relatives really want the child to be a devil. Nobody wants the child to be an arrogant, non-righteous, antisocial element who is given to drug addicts. A person who is sattvic, a clean person who will respect dharma, the value of dharma, who will live a life of dharma, who will be happy, also contribute for the society's happiness, such a good child should be born, who will contribute for the perpetuation of dharma, and he must expect a child. So arrival of a child is expected with a great, grand thing, the joy, because he is going to be the perpetuator of dharma. Now he is going to the perpetuation of families. So the prasada, biggest prasadam from Bhagavan. Baby is received as a gift from Bhagavan. That's why we pray even before the baby is born. The emotional well-being is very important. Look at this. The mind is not okay, everything is waste. Mind has to be, isn't it? The emotional wellness is so important. We pray for the child's good mind, intelligent child. The child who understands the value of dharma, who live a life of dharma, could follow this Vedic way of life, which such a child we want, baby we want. Therefore, very thoughtfully, parents, elders pray for the emotional well-being of the child. So there starts the prayer for rituals performed for emotional refinement of an individual. And when does it stop? Ashmashana. Why after that you don't need to do? He'll have to come back again, assuming another body. Again he'll have Garbhadhanam. Understand? So the Vaidika who wants to live his life performing actions, he must be following all this. So Shankara says, Tatra Nishekadi Shmashanantam Karma Kurvan Jijivishet. Only for such a person, this jnana karma upasana samuchayaha, which will give the results of mrityu taranam and this amrita ashram etc., These are all discussed only for such a person who has been living life enjoined by the Shastram, following all the samskaras. Next, tatra. Only three lines. I have to tell you this. Had to take so much time. Tatra. Kena margena. Amrutatvam. Ashnute. Iti uchyate. Now, so the person who performs the rituals, together practicing meditation, and he definitely attains what? Devatatma bhavaha. He has the status of being the devaha, or he attains the relative immortality, apekshika and absolute. He'll go to Brahmaloka. Means attainment of Brahma, going to Brahmaloka, attaining the status of being the Hiranyagarbha Devata is called what? Amrutatvam. In this context, when you say Amrutatvam, even though the word Amrutatvam literally means immortality, mokshaha, in the context of Karma Kanda, the word Amrutatvam should be taken as going to Brahmaloka, attaining the Devata status. Is it clear? He says, Tatra. Kena margena amrutatvam ashnute iti uchyate. Now he is going to say in the following mantras, how is this amrutatvam attained? We know the person, as a result of the punyam, a person earns practicing meditation by performing ritual, he earns punyam. As a result of punyam, he goes to Brahmaloka. But by which way, by which route does he go to Brahmaloka? Kena margena amrutatvam iti uchyate. Now, what is the route, what is the path going through which this person attains devatatma bhavaha, reaches the Brahmaloka? So, it is very clear now. In moksha, no travel, no journey. Is it? As a journey. So travel, journey, gati means what? Karmapalam. Karmapalam means what? Ajnanam is involved. Ajnanam involved means what? Samsara is still there. So now, just for listening, it becomes clear for you. Tat-tad. Yat tat satyam asau sa adityah yah yeshah etasmin mandale purushah yah cha ayam dakshine akshan purushah yetadubayagham satyam. So here again Shankara Bhagavatpada gives information from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Please listen to me carefully now again. Indriyam is an individual power. Devata is a total power. Ishvaraha is totality of powers. I tell you. Suppose seeing power in you is Indriyam. Seeing powers in all of us is what? Devata. Now, the totality of seeing powers, totality of hearing powers, totality of powers of all, each and every sense organ, totality of all powers of organs of actions, and totality of physiological functions, totality of minds, totality of intellects, all totality of totality of powers is Ishwaraha. What is each and every power is manifestation of knowledge. Every power, subtle, all subtle powers put together is Ishwara. Just Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? So he wants to say here, listen, Satyam, in this context, Hiranyagarbha is said to be Satyam Brahma. Satyam Brahma means not absolute reality as discussed in Taittiriya Upanishad. Hiranyagarbha is also said to be Satyam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma, Satyam Brahma. And this Hiranyagarbha, you know, sun, Suryaha, Suryaha, sun god, sun, is always Abhimani Devata of Surya is Hiranyagarbha, the presiding deity of sun. Abhimani Devata of sun is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, and the power, it means the power in the sun and the power in an individual is one and the same Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is the same. Who is the presiding deity? Sun, Hiranyagarbha. There is no difference here. He says, Adityaha yaha, aso saha adityaha, yaha yeshaha, etasmin mandale purushaha. So this Surya mandalaha means the whole, the sun. In sun, yaha purushaha, the devatatma bhavaha. The Hiranyagarbha, which who alone obtains in sun, is also obtains in every individual human being's eyes. But here, always right side of an individual is more powerful, stronger than the left side, it seems. So he says, for the purpose of understanding, he says, Dakshine Akshi. In the right eye of an individual, there is a Purusha. It is Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of seeing power obtaining in the right eye of an individual. The same Hiranyagarbha is there in Surya Mandalam, in sun. There is no difference. Ubhayagam Satyam. The Purusha, mean the power obtaining in an individual eye, the power obtaining in the sun, Surya, are one and the same, known as Hiranyagarbha. Okay, therefore, so what now? It seems if Hiranyagarbha is the same, and this Hiranyagarbha, the upasaka, the person who meditates, the meditator, and he has done, he has practiced his meditation, he has performed his rituals, he has done the samuchaya, and he is waiting for his result, isn't it? So now he seeks the help. He prays. Why does he pray? We have to make appropriate, adequate efforts. But along with our efforts, we also need Bhagavan's grace. We have to seek grace. I have done everything, I can get it done everything myself. I don't care for Bhagavan's grace. Means it won't be possible. We must make efforts, we should also seek Bhagavan's grace. But without making any effort, simply I pray to Bhagavan. Grace, we cannot earn grace. We must do what we should be doing, which also pray to Bhagavan, seek Bhagavan's grace to accomplish anything we want to accomplish. So our efforts plus Bhagavan's grace, both we have, we can will be successful. What do you need for success? Our own efforts with Bhagavan's grace. Without our efforts, we cannot tap Bhagavan's grace. Without Bhagavan's grace, our efforts will be incomplete, inadequate. Without grace, our efforts will be incomplete, inadequate. But grace without efforts will be impossible. Therefore, success is dependent on two factors. So this person, jijivishet, karma kurvanna jijivishet, one who wants to live his life performing actions, this person, karma yogi, he seeks Bhagavan's grace, he is praying to the Lord. And Suryaha, sun, is Abhimani Devata of Hiranyagarbha, and he says, he looks at this sun, it looks this disc, solar disc, isn't it? Which is brilliant, blazing, resplendent. And he takes it as what? That is the, so to go enter into Hiranyagarbha Loka, he thinks, now he looks at it as the entrance, the cover. The entrance to the Hiranyagarbha is veiled by, covered with this solar disk. Why does he connect it? Why does the devotee here connect the sun or solar disk to be the covering the entrance to Hiranyagarbha? Because what is the connection between sun and Hiranyagarbha? Always Hiranyagarbha is the Abhimani Devata of the sun. The sun is the symbol for us. Sun is an alambanam for us. And the solar disk, which is brilliant, which is shining, is taken to be what? To be covering the entrance to Hiranyagarbha Loka, the world of Hiranyagarbha. It's like the entire Surya Mandalam is like a house of Hiranyagarbha. And the entrance to his house is closed. And the devotee here is going to pray to the Surya Bhagavan. Oh Lord, please. Okay? Keep open that end door. Let me go inside to be one with Hiranyagarbha. This is the prayer. Okay? Now, Brahma Upasinaha. The person who is given to the discipline of meditation, who expects the result, who wants the result, and that person seeks Bhagavan's grace. Oh, he is praying. Now, what is prayer for? Prayer is for tapping Bhagavan's grace. Why do we need grace? To remove the hidden invariables. Invariables, I said. To remove the hidden obstacles. We'll come back and see. I didn't know the time passed. It's all right? Now we'll be going fast. No way. Shankara's commentary is over. We can go faster. Actually, I was very much tempted to talk more on samskaras. I stopped. I controlled. I said no. Questions? Because it's next talk. Now we are going to enter this verse, the mantra. See how beautifully Shankara is taking us to the teaching. Do you see the beauty, how he is taking us? Why he has to pray? Whom does he pray to? How is the connection between sun and Hiranyagarbha? All this we should know before we go to the actual mantra. I will come back and start from this paragraph so it will be much easier. See what he wanted to say. Performing, the person who practices meditation along with the performance of ritual, it's not simply jnana karma upasana samuchaya karta, means he is a highly disciplined person who lives strictly the Vedic way of life. To say that Shankarakar mentions in his Bhashyam, the person who goes through all these samskaras. That's it. Yeah.
Regarding the Vedic life from birth to getting the thread and marriage and the fire. So, first question, is it only for the Brahmanas caste? Is this question?
No, it's for all the people.
Including the fire, the...
Everything. Of course. Everybody has to come into this, you see.
And second question, what about the... after Grihastha, the Vanaprastha and the Sannyasa Ashrama?
See, Vanaprastha, your person becomes mature. If he goes to Vanaprastha, he can move on to Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. Again, Sannyasa, one has to go through mentally. See, physically, whether you show outside or not. The person is mature, he can, again his punyam is there, he is mature enough, and he can take karma sannyasa, jnana karma sannyasa, he can go move on to other ashramas. Otherwise, a person lives as a grihastha, and he still lives his life as Kanja Vedic Karma Kanda Veda. If he has not gone to other ashramas, sometimes people live their whole life as life of Karma Yoga. They do not move on to other ashramas. And for such people, Agni has to be taken. The sannyas is different. Generally, see 99% of the society, majority of society, they will live as Karma Yogis. And they will die. So living a life of Karma Yoga itself is a great life. Not an ordinary life at all. Please understand here. Taking to a life of sannyasa or becoming a vanaprasthi, all expressions of one's maturity. But living a life of Karma Yoga itself is an amazing life. Not an ordinary life at all. Because a highly disciplined, clean life. Isn't it? Therefore, an ordinary life. And when a person lives, that's why it's all mentioned, Nishekadi Shmashanantam, why he says that. The person who wants to live his life, performing all his duties, performing all his rituals, and going through all his samskaras, and living consciously a life filled with Bhagavan. Life is filled with Bhagavan. Isn't it? So, Karma Yoga itself is a great life. No doubt about it. Sometimes people do not take to a life of sannyasa or vanaprastha. They have not gone through physically, but still they must be mentally. So, for such people also, that agni is, as long as he is using the agni is used. Some those days, but now we have substitute for everything. Electric crematorium. Yes, Adhan Agnihi. We have to see, we have to understand the spirit behind it. We can't, you don't really take literally everything. I was expecting another question, it's okay. Yeah.
I don't think this is the question you're expecting, but my ignorance in Sanskrit, but I've learned, I've heard that some scholars an impression, at least this is how it's often used. So these rituals that are done are in order to form that impression?
It's a good question, really. Okay. There are two words. One word is vasanas. Another word is samskaras. The word samskaraha is used as synonym of the word vasana sometimes, which means mental impressions. Means once you wake up in the morning and you see things, some do not stay in your mind, some really stays in your mind. Like that, example I give you. One day I ate a cookie. Swamiji said, I didn't want to eat, and I liked it very much. That doesn't go from my mind. Very strong impression. What we experience in our waking state, isn't it? What we perceive, what you see, what we experience, what we enjoy, we have cognitions and knowledge, and things, they remain there. In some form of subtle form, they remain. They form some impressions. It's also called vasanas. Okay? Subtle impressions are nothing but the stored experiences, perceptions, enjoyments we have remain stored in subtle form. Okay? They're called vasanas. They're also known by them samskaras. They contribute for refinement. Therefore, they are also called samskaras. But actually, the word samskara means refinement. Noun that is. Masculine, refinement. So, here the ritual is called samskara because this ritual is performed for the refinement of the individual. But there, our experiences, what formed impressions also help. No, we learn from our experiences. They also contribute for refinement. The vasanas, we have also contribute for expressions of refinement. Well, another word is used, samskara. But samskara actually means refinement only. But here the ritual performed for refinement is also known by the term samskara. And 41 samskaras means not 41 refinements. 41 rituals followed for the refinement of the individual. But there also we say the mental impressions produced by our day-to-day experiences in waking state, also known as samskara, which is a synonym of another word, vasana. Clear? I was expecting another question. So we have not gone through all these samskaras. We have not gone through all these samskaras. And we have not done all these things. Is it possible for us to become refined? You have a lot of punyam. Without requiring to go through samskaras, you are already refined enough to be exposed to the Shastra study. And you are already pursuing Jnanam. What else you want? Have you answered your question? I'll talk more about the samskaras in terms of vasanas, some other context, some other time. Maybe when I do brief Ikena after finishing this. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om. May Bhagavan Paramatma bless all of us with a clear understanding of the teaching. May bless us with all that we need to have this clear vision. Oh.